We are live. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to the Malaga Drive Hoops podcast. We are back. It's been a minute since I've had some guests on. But if you're familiar at all with this podcast, you know who my guests are. It's great to be back and talking some basketball. We've got Tyler and Sarge. Boys, it's been a while. How we doing?
Happy to be back.
Feels
Good.
good.
Got a full glass of wine. Tyler has his decaf coffee, and
Yep.
Caleb has his water.
I got my water. Yeah, that's
Ready to
just
go.
kind of sets the vibe for where all three of us are at. But yeah, I know it's been a really long time. Should have an announcement soon that should mean we're gonna be able to get more podcasts out consistently. But it starts with today, and we're gonna go and run through the playoff play-ins. We'll be back on Thursday and go through the playoffs as a whole, but today is just going to be strictly about the play-ins. We've got some great matchups. It's been honestly a really fun year, a really weird year, but the stage is set. We've got Warriors Lakers, or sorry, Warriors Kings in Sacramento, Lakers Pelicans in New Orleans, and then we've got Hawks Bulls in Chicago and Sixers Heat in Philly. I think to even just to start things off, do you guys, it's been now, is this the third? Yeah, this should be the third year, I believe. Do you guys like the play-ins? What are your thoughts on the play-ins? Are you on the side of, I see both sides, but for you guys, where are you at in terms of your enjoyment of it and what it does to the regular season and the playoffs themselves?
Yeah, I think that it's been a great change for the league. I
Yeah.
mean, I can't remember a last day of the season that was, granted, the games didn't end up all being super competitive today, but coming
Yeah.
into the day, there were a multitude of different seeding possibilities that I just don't really remember caring about in the
Right.
past. Along with the fact that, the play-in coupled with the flattening of the lottery odds, we just see less tank than we
Yeah.
had in the past. We're typically in each league seeing, 11 to 12 teams fighting for 10 spots, which has the league in a better spot than it was a half decade ago.
Yeah. And with you, Sergeant?
Yeah, do you guys feel like the worst teams are even worse though at this point?
Yeah, I think it separates pretty quickly. Like you see, like even with the Jazz, right? Is like post All-Star break, you kind of have to make a decision like, hey, are we trying to get in, or are we out of this thing? And then you make your decision and then kind of the vibes follow from there. But absolutely, right? Like the Hawks, they dealt with some injuries, but it was still clear, like I don't know actually, but they were trying to win games down the stretch. And so I'm with you. I think the only thing that comes up, and I don't think it's come up too often, it kind of did this year, is I could see scenarios where, like, I don't know, eight and seven or 9 and 10 are separated by like 5, 6 games. Where it's like that kind of sucks that you have that like that advantage on a team and it still just comes down to one game. But I think more often than not, they're close. You saw this year, Pelicans are the 6 seed, or sorry, I'm sorry, the 7 seed, and they would have been the 3rd seed last year in the West. So it's just crazy tight. I think we're gonna get some just great matchups this year, and I'm really excited. The NBA from just like a competitive standpoint is in a really great spot. So I'm excited. I agree. I'm with you guys. I love what it's done to the overall competitiveness and just like the entertainment of this thing. So I'm ready to go. Are you guys ready to go into the West? That's I want to
Yeah,
start with the West.
I think one other thing before we get
Yeah.
started that I think is kind of underrated in its aspect, but you've seen with the Lakers is it forces teams to kind of like form an identity going into the playoffs a lot earlier than they did in the past. Like you have to be on your shiz if you're a 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 team because it's so close. You don't get these teams in a five spot or six spot that are kind of
Coasting.
resting,
Yeah.
coasting and
Yeah.
resting. Like Anthony Davis played 70, 75 games this year,
Yeah.
or 74 games is the most games he's ever played we saw LeBron at the second half of the season really have to lock in and play more games. And the Lakers, we'll get to it later, looked really good today. But I think it sharpens teams up at the end of the year, and you have teams that are more kind of hitting a stride at the end of the season, especially in the West, rather than, looking really slow. And I think we'll see more going forward of like 8 and 7 seeds becoming competitive against 1 and 2 seeds. But we can get there when we get there.
I think that's a great point. I know we'll get into the playoff teams on Thursday, but just a quick point that I wanted to make going off Sarge is we've seen it with Phoenix the last couple of weeks. I mean, Phoenix, I wouldn't say that they were left for dead 2 weeks ago, but they had by far the most difficult remaining strength of schedule in the league, like down the stretch, and they went 7-3 their
They
last
got it
10
done.
games and solidified a playoff spot. And going off Sarge's point, those guys are locked in right now. And we probably would not have seen that in the past without, sort of that line between a 6 seed and a 7 seed.
Absolutely. And I think also it's merging really well with where the league is too, because I think everything that you guys said is true and that's happened. But I think also, like, especially in the West, there's just so many good teams. And so it's combined with that really, really perfectly. This year you have 11 teams within 45 to 49 wins. Like 11 teams. So it makes for a ton of entertainment. It makes for some an exciting end of the regular season. Kind of a weird end of the regular season, but we're here, we made it, and we are about to get into some of the best time of the year, which I know we've talked about it before. Like, playoff basketball is much, much different than regular season basketball. And you are going to see that very, very soon. So let's start with the West. Actually, the West is more exciting. Let's start with the East, to just get warmed up. We'll go first game of the day. And I am going to talk about things from a betting perspective. So we don't have to like hone in on make this all betting, but I will throw some stuff out there. Sixers are the 7 seed and are coming in as a 4.5 point favorite against the Miami Heat. Obviously, an up and down year for the Sixers. Started out really, really well. Then Joel gets hurt. And honestly, I was kind of on the side of when he went down is like, honestly, I feel like they might be okay. There are a couple times where he was out and it was still overall a good team. The principals were there. Obviously, Maxey stepped up, but then a lot of other guys filled in the gaps. And then honestly, things just fell apart and things looked really, really bad for a while. They picked up here and there, but overall, without Embiid, they were a little bit worse than I personally would have expected. And I know Joel Embiid is obviously a huge part of what they do. And then he's been back. I can't lie and say that I've watched every minute that he's played, but I'm looking at the box scores and looking at the numbers. Looks like he's essentially himself. And so they step into this one against the Miami Heat, who, if you follow the NBA at all, have kind of been the one team that like regular season is what it is. But when the playoffs come, when games that matter come, they generally get the best version of themselves. And so you have a really, really interesting game here. I like Philly to win this game. And we can go into it a little bit more, but just off the top, for you guys, Sarge, I know you're a big Miami guy. And you've honestly been right for a lot of these past couple playoffs. Where do you guys stand on this game and just what are your overall thoughts on kind of the season that these two teams have had and where they're standing at right now?
Yeah, I think Miami is an interesting team in the fact that Tyler Hero just came back, what, 3 games ago, 4 games ago, 5 games ago? I don't know exactly when. And he actually looks pretty good and he looks healthy for the first time in a while. But in the meantime, they're starting guys like Patty Mills, and they started Patty Mills probably 12 to 15 games in a row. And you got Jaime Jaquez playing a ton of minutes. Caleb Martin's just back healthy as well, actually getting into stride. He was really bad when he first
They're
came
low
back.
key, they're all healthy for the first time all year. It's funny how that works with the Heat, but like every single guy, maybe Terry might be dealing with some shit right now, but I think he's good. I think he's good to go.
And they got a solid like 7 or 8 guys now too, being all healthy, where before, before Tyler Hero came back, you're really sketched out with that depth. You had Haywood Highsmith playing a ton of minutes. They're actually decently deep now at this point. And honestly, like they match up really well with the Sixers. Like if you look at it, they got Bam to guard. I know no one can guard Joel, but they
Yeah.
got Bam to guard Joel and at least make it difficult for him on defense in the pick and roll. This should be a really good game. If it was in Miami, I'm taking the Heat, but since it's in Philadelphia, I think I'll lean Philadelphia. And Tyrese Maxey is just such a stud.
Yeah. Sorry, or T, who you got?
Yeah, I'm just worried about who has to stay in front of Tyrese. I don't really think anybody in the NBA can. But the point of attack defense for Miami scares me a little bit. Now, granted, you have Bam down there, but yeah, the Miami team has been all season, and I feel like it's weirder than they've been in the past when they've been weird in previous seasons, but. I don't know. I guess I learned my
Yeah.
lesson. We talked a lot of shit on
I
them
was gonna say, bro,
at this
like
time last year.
last year was pretty bad too. Like
I
we
don't.
remember the playoffs, but like the regular season, I look back, it was pretty bad still too. Like similarly bad.
No, I just taken stock in some of the quotes that Spo has had. You guys have seen any of them or heard any of them in the last week or so, but. It doesn't seem like he's really thrilled. It does seem like he's been mixing and matching the last couple of weeks to try to get them to where he wants to get them to.
Yeah.
But, and granted, part of that is due to the injuries, right? There's a lot of plug and play going on. But
I love
go
that you
ahead.
brought that up though, bro, because I mean, I think a really underrated aspect of it is last year, I don't know if people think of him as this, but Max Strus is a really good point of attack defender. Gabe Vincent is a pretty damn, when he's healthy at least, a pretty good damn point of attack defender. They don't have those guys. And a huge part of their success was they're really, really smart, right? They're gonna just make good reads offensively and get shots that they're comfortable with. And then defensively, very, very solid. And they have so many different things that they'll throw at you. I don't think that's there this year, the same way that it was in the past. And Spo, I'm sure, will throw a bunch of different weird shit at the wall and mix up looks. But I just, and I know we're more focused on this game, but even moving forward, I don't know. I don't. And I could look dumb again, but I just don't necessarily see as much of a path this year. And I know I didn't last year. I
Dude,
didn't.
and let's be honest about what last year was. I mean, Giannis got hurt in what, game two or game three of round one?
Yeah, I don't remember, but he did get hurt.
Then Caleb Martin had an out-of-body experience,
Yeah. And
you know,
Strus
throughout.
and Gabe
Yeah.
were, and yeah, I mean, the whole team had an out-of-body experience.
But
Like,
I mean, I will say that what they had been missing was a guy like Terry, and now they have Hero healthy. So the offense should
yes.
be there, I would think. It's just
Yeah.
defensively, that's pretty concerning.
Right. And it's like we've seen Maxey be able to be slowed down without Joel. And that obviously just kind of speaks for itself. You can show way more attention to him. But when you have Joel there, you get Maxey attacking a lot of just open space situations. And that
Yeah.
is, I mean, he is, I think we can all agree, Tyrese Maxey is an absolute stud when it comes to the offensive side of the floor. So, yeah, I don't know. I personally, and I know we'll get to it more, and I respect the Knicks for doing what they do to just win and beat who's in front of them, but that is, I would be so bummed if you're the two seed in a pretty weak Eastern Conference and you get Philly. And I know we'll get to it more, and we can, I know we're going to talk about Joel in the playoffs, but like still, I think objectively, that is not who you want to play if you are a two seed in a quote weak conference.
This is a massive game too, but I don't think people realize this 7-8 matchup is huge because whoever wins it doesn't have to face the Celtics, which are
Awesome. Yeah.
by far the best team in the league right now. So I would be
Whoa.
throwing
In the
every
league or in the East?
No, you can
I
say
think in the
Philly.
league. I mean, it's
We'll
been
get there.
tough
We'll
to
get
judge
there.
them because
We'll get there.
right now you got
Yeah.
it's tough
No,
to
they're
judge.
damn
It's
good.
tough to judge because you got
Regardless, they're better than the Knicks. You would rather face the Knicks.
and they haven't played anyone in the last 7 games. So you can't really the Celtics haven't played anyone last time. Peyton Pritchard's dropping 70 50 and 40 every game.
No, but I don't think Tyler's
kind of done that.
Yeah.
Done that the entire second half of the season. It's
Yeah.
like a just a
I don't know, Tyler.
Merry-go-round.
But put that aside. I mean, who would you rather play, right? Sure, you want to play the Celtics in the first
Right.
round. It's not even close. So
Oh,
it's
100%.
it's a
No,
massive
I think
game.
Tyler just has to stand up for his Nuggets is all.
Well, one point that I wanted to make, we obviously have not jumped on a podcast since the league decided to go through seemingly a rule change in the middle of the season to allow teams to actually play defense. The topic of Embiid and then the way that Miami played defense prior to the rule change, I would think it would benefit a team like Miami, especially against a team like Philly and
Absolutely.
Embiid specifically, who foul baits frequently.
Absolutely. But and I agree, right? There's no denying that Joel Embiid is a guy who draws fouls and flops and probably exaggerates some contact. But at the same time, Joel Embiid, with or without, we'll get there. Joel Embiid is a monster in my eyes, no matter what, and still the best player in this game by a good margin, even though I know Jimmy had that otherworldly run. End of the day, I'm taking Philly, and I'm taking them in a I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I think it will be a semi-comfortable win.
I disagree with that. I highly disagree with that.
Yeah,
you got the best coach in the league. You got the best coach in the league, Eric Spoelstra, mm-hmm. who's probably the best big games coach in the league as well. They always show up for big games. He always has them ready. He gets the most out of young guys in the league. You got Nikola Jovic. You got Jaime Jaquez. You have so many of
Dude,
these young guys.
I do
guys
not
that
know if Jovic is going to play, bro.
But I'm saying he gets the most out of his players. It's not about him as a player and him playing in these games. I'm just saying he gets the most out of his dudes when they're on the floor. He was able to perform
I'm
when all
sure
these guys
he
are
will.
out.
I'm sure he will. I'm still taking the Sixers. I don't think the Heat are going to come in here and get smacked, or that they're going to be terrible. I think basketball wise, I think the Sixers are a better team. They're at home and they have the best player. So for me, I'm going Sixers, and I don't think it's a blowout, but I don't think it's like going to come down to the last shot type of thing. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Disagree.
It's the Sixers do have the best player, but I also think that Miami may have potentially the guy that's best suited in the league to guard him. I mean, I think that Bam sort of has a sneaky defensive player of the year case. I think he's amazing defensively. The last time Embiid went against Bam in the playoffs, he didn't even average 20 points a game. It was close. It was like 19 and 10 over the course of the series that Miami beat Philly in 2 years ago. So I think I'm going to take Miami.
Bro, I don't know. Sarge, is it just me? But Tyler, you go in and out, and I've missed like, I don't know, 20% of what you're saying. So I can like, I can usually piece it together, but it's like at some point, I'm going to miss a key word and it's going to throw me off.
Let me try to, you want to pause?
Good.
Yeah, so I was just saying that I think that, yes, Embiid is the best player in the game. I don't think that's up for debate. But I think that Bam may be uniquely suited to defend Embiid in a one game like this. I think Bam had a sneaky defensive player of the year case this season. And the last time the Sixers played the Heat in the playoffs 2 years ago, Bam did a number on Embiid when Miami won that series. So after talking it through and hearing your guys' point, I think I'm going to take Miami on a
– Wow. Yeah. I agree. Bam is great. Bam is great. I will also say I fully believe Joel Embiid is a better basketball player now than he was 2 years ago. And I also would say, like, it's not just Joel. Like, I – obviously you would take Jimmy over Maxey, but it's like, to me, Maxey's the third best player by a huge margin as well. So that's where I'm at. Again, I could easily be wrong, and Miami could flip the fucking switch, and we see the crazy cracked out version of Jimmy, and all the role players are hitting threes, and Bam shutting down Joel. But to me, I know there's a lot of kind of toeing the line with Joel in terms of like ethical buckets, not ethical buckets. But I've watched a lot of Joel this year, and he is insane. He's absolutely insane. And to me, no matter how good you are, I'm not like sitting here thinking he's going to be shut down because of Bam. Or, and I'm not saying
Nowhere
that's what
Joe.
you're even saying. I know, but like, I'm not scared to the point where I'm going to pick Miami.
Regardless, I don't think either of these two teams struggles to win that next game.
Yeah, no,
Yeah, I mean, this is.
both of these teams are beating the Bulls or the Hawks. Yeah, in my eyes, too.
It's a shoe-in for sure. But this game is so big, and I think where Joel has gotten so much better in his game is his passing ability. Like that dude's passing ability has gotten like he's a legitimately now an elite passer out of the block as a big man in the NBA. Like
So,
elite.
so one thing I have noticed, and I agree, his passing has gotten so much better. But he's a lot better at catching and getting it out quick and making the read quick right as he gets it. Once
Yeah.
they show the double, like once he catches, starts backing, then they show the double, and that's where he struggles a little bit more. But do you even like, that's what I'm saying. Do you leave? I feel like they probably trust Bam unless Joel's going nuts. Where are you guys on that? Because there's always shooters. There's all Nick Batum, great shooter. Tobias, good enough shooter. Tyrese, good shooter. D'Anthony, good shooter. Lowry, good enough.
Buddy,
Buddy.
Kelly Oubre.
Buddy, I think is good. But Buddy is a turnstile in defense, and he's kind of a bonehead. But like Buddy can absolutely rip it. And I love pairing him next to Joel, just in terms of you cannot help off that. I don't know, man. I'm with Philly. I'm with Philly.
I think Philly wins. I just disagree with them winning by a decent amount. I think this game is coming
When
down to
I
the
say
last
decent,
shot.
like I'll like, and I, you guys know, I bet a lot. Like, I'm not even betting Philly minus 4.5, but I do think if I had to guess, they win by 5 to 8 rather than like 1 to 4. But we'll see. We'll see. And I'm very, very, very excited for it. Also, sneaky little storyline aspect to it. Kyle Lowry getting a chance to go against the very Heat team that said, and I don't even blame the Heat, but the Heat team that said, yeah, bro, you're not good enough for us. You gotta go. So I'm sure he'll be fired up. I'm not sure if a fired up Kyle Lowry makes all the that much of a difference, but I mean, he's a very smart and experienced player, so we'll see. All right, let's get to the next game, and this somewhat of a snooze, but it is what it is. We gotta talk about it. Bulls and Hawks. Bulls coming in as a 3-point home favorite. Atlanta been a very, I think you could say, disappointing year, but very weird year, right? Like, I think they, for the vast majority of the start of the year with Trae Young and DeJounte, were pretty underwhelming, and disappointing. And then once Trae Young went down, obviously it wasn't pretty, but they had plenty of gritty performances where it was like, all right, this team still cares. This team is still showing up. And then you had the emergence of Jalen Johnson as well, which is obviously a plus. He's not going to be playing, which is a real bummer because he's dealt with ankle stuff all year long. And it seems like he just kept coming back a little bit too early and he couldn't just fully recover. He kept just pushing timelines. I remember him like coming back. I'm like, damn, that's early. But that's that, right? I'd say overall disappointing year, but you know and have seen this team and you've seen what Trae Young is capable of. And then you have the Bulls where I know Bulls fans hate kind of where they're at, and I don't blame them, but like honestly, like with who they have, the talent level they have, it's like it's a team that's so gritty and fights, and it's like they've done their best with what they've had, and more often than not, they at least compete. It's not the best team in the world, you know, no matter what, they're not going far, but it's like they at least respect the game. It's not disgusting basketball. It's just a lack of personnel. But it's a gritty team. Anyways, Bulls 3-point favorites in this. Guys, what are your thoughts on this? And again, you can go in really any route. The game itself, the seasons each team has had, what you guys have noticed. I know, T, you're a little bit more tuned into Bulls than the average fan just because of Vooch. Where are you guys at on this game
Yeah.
and what you're expecting?
Yeah. And you guys can still hear me all right. Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh,
Perfect.
yeah.
Then way better.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to mention that about the Bulls. Like, 100%, it's not an ideal scenario. I would
Yeah.
be super frustrated if I was a Bulls fan. But given what this team has, the fact that they have had Lonzo out all season, LaVine has been out 75% of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, those two guys alone are taking up what, 30 to 40% of the team's payroll.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, they're able to hang in these games, it seems like every single game is a tightly contested game. They've
Yeah.
played by far the most overtime games in the league. They've played 11 overtime games.
Yeah. That's not.
They're just gritty. And I do think that their roster construction is actually suited pretty well to beat Atlanta. I mean, as long as Io is healthy and then you have Caruso healthy, I think that those are two good backcourt defenders. But yeah, the Hawks are for sure a disappointment. Caleb, I think you and I both had Quinn Snyder as our preseason coach of the year, and they finished 10 games under 500 in a really weak Eastern Conference. So yeah, I think that the Bulls win this 9-10 game and then, you know, obviously lose to Philly.
Yeah. I think
is AO playing? Is AO playing in the play-in? Do we know?
I was just trying to
he
look.
Didn't play. He didn't play today. I mean, they ran Javonte Green for 40 minutes.
Right. I can do my best. And that honestly, that matters. Like, for again, like
100%.
It's been they didn't even go 500. So I don't think it's crazy to call it disappointing, but it's like, for what went down to get the development from AO that they've got, to get the development from Kobe that they got, like, you can't be too mad.
Yeah, so the Bulls have been locked in on the 9 spot for the last couple of days.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about that.
I think that they were taking it easy with Io. I think you should be ready to go.
But no one else today, bro. Can we talk about that for a sec? How they were completely locked in at 9. Can we talk about what possibly the motivating factor could be to be completely locked in at 9 and have your starters? Again, they have a couple days off. I get it. And I'm not even saying it's the wrong decision, but to completely grind your starters 40 minutes tonight in an OT game against the Knicks. I honestly
think that they were just looking for like a feel good heading into the play-in.
Yeah.
I think that they got out to an early lead and they were like, oh shit, we might be able to steal this one on the road in the Garden. Let's give it a shot.
I also think it's just fuck the Knicks, you know?
Yeah.
The Knicks are trying to grab a 2 seed. I think Billy Donovan probably said, let's go out there and try to beat them. You got DeRozan playing 44 minutes before a play-in game.
It's nuts. It's nuts. But I honestly think, I like that. It's always weird at the end of the season, and I'm not ever – like, I'm sure no matter what decision is made in whatever situation, like, there's a valid reason behind it, and there's thought behind it. But I'm always on the side more of, like – and we'll talk about it with the Lakers coming up too, of, like – respect the game, play basketball. You can hold guys out if you want, but like whoever's in there, try and do your best to win basketball games. And I think that's going to help you more often than it really hurts you. So I'm glad they did that today. I can't find, like, all I see on AO is that he's ruled out for this game that the Bulls just played, or that game, but he was questionable to play today. And
I think he's going to go.
And it's a 2-3 game. Exactly. I think the other side of things, too, is I think I'd be more likely to pick the Hawks if Trey had been back for a while. I think a lot of times you see, especially with ball-dominant guys, you see it all the time where they come back and then people kind of expect that, you know, things right away just get picked up where they're left off. You get a guy who's missed some time, who's a high-usage guy, back into the mix. He's generally not at his form, which makes sense, but I think also other guys have a little bit of a tougher time adjusting to, hey, I've been rocking out with the ball a lot more, now I'm not. And basketball is such a mental game, but you have to make quick reads, so you can't really, if you're thinking about what, if you should take a shot, if you should do this, if you should do that, it fucks your whole rhythm up. And I think the Hawks are kind of it's him and DeJounte anyways, but still, like, they're not clicking. Like, this is right. Like,
we're seeing the same thing. I mean, we saw it with the Pelicans with Ingram, and then we saw it with the Wolves,
we're
like the
talk
last
about
two
that
games with Cap coming back.
Right.
But they almost lost to the Hawks.
No. You honestly, exactly. You honestly, as a team, almost become worse for a couple games, and you kind of got to work your way through it, and then you get back and you're fine. But The Hawks are hitting that at a really tough time. This is just a quick side note, just because of the way, today went down. I've got a pop quiz for you guys. The Hawks played the Pacers four times this year. Can you guess how many points that the Pacers scored altogether in four games? Your best guess.
573.
Sorry.
Yeah, 546. 546.
590 in four games.
Oh my God. That's
590 in.
150 a game.
Yeah, it's a pretty ridiculous number, bro. 147 a game. And
Dude,
so
unfortunately, the Bulls don't score enough to exploit that terrible defense.
no, bro, I know, but it's tough. It's tough. I got Bulls in a tie again. I'm sure the Hawks do have the best player in the game in this game. But I respect the Bulls. Like I honestly, I respect the Bulls when I watch them. I enjoy the way that they play. They play super, super hard for each other. They more often than not defend. They don't have the necessary talent, and it sometimes leads to DeMar taking some pretty bad shots, Kobe taking some pretty bad shots. But more often than not, they play really hard and together. And I think that ultimately is the difference in this one, especially with the Hawks being better.
Do we know if Trey's on a minutes limit? Because I know he's played 21 and like 25 minutes in the two games since coming back. Because that's
Dude, I don't think so. I
are they
mean,
just get
if it were like leg or something like lower body, maybe, but it's like it's his finger. So I think the minutes limit was just more so like getting his win back in games that don't really matter anyways. I'd be pretty surprised if he's playing like 25 minutes a game in this one. I'd expect him to be good to go. But
Yeah.
shit, you never know. Anything else with this game? Sarge, who you got?
It's really tough. I with Trae Young back, if he's playing 35 minutes, and I'm not a Trae Young guy at all, but
No, he's the best player in this game for sure, regardless of what you
you
think.
gotta you, I know the Bulls have been gritty and been good, but if you just look at their roster, like straight up, Javonte Green's playing 8 games all year. And he's just now thrust into this huge role. He's been good,
He's
but
been good,
they're,
yeah. What took
yeah.
them so long to bring him back?
And why wasn't he on a roster before? I feel like so
Yeah.
many teams, like even like a team like the Lakers, could use a guy like him,
Yeah.
like instead of running some garbage out there. But I mean, he's better than Torian Prince easily. But I just think with this game, anything can happen with Trae Young, man. I'm
Yeah.
taking the Bulls because they're at home, but this one for me is a straight up coin flip. I think another thing for me is I have no idea what to expect from either of these teams because there's been so much rubbage and like guys in and out and so many guys sitting and playing. Like I don't even know what rotations are gonna look like. I don't know who's healthy. This is kind of just a scramble and throw it all together game without me kind of watching it, where I think with the Heat and the Sixers, even though guys have been out, I think we know what we're going to expect from both teams. I have no idea what to expect from the Bulls or the Hawks.
Yeah.
Dude, the Hawks are coming into this game. They've lost six straight. They have a 35% winning percentage on the road this season. It's really, really bad.
Yeah. I mean, to win on the road, you gotta have a good defense. And they definitely do not have that. Really, I don't know if there's one plus defender on that team. And honestly, Trey's gotten better, but like it doesn't
Bongo.
even... Yeah, Onyeka. Onyeka, is he playing?
Nah, he's out.
No, I don't
He's done
even.
for more weeks. He
I
got hurt
haven't
again when he
watched the
came back.
Hawks like all season.
Yeah, I don't. I dude, that I mean, legit. Like, you go through and Vic Creasy, who's been really solid for them, is not even going to be able to play because they kept him on a two-way. So like, you're legit getting like Trent Forrest, Garrison Matthews, like I.
Bogey.
Yeah, but like I really to me it's DeJounte, Bogey, DeAndre, Trey as like the re only real I feel like
DeAndre Hunter.
rotation level guys. DeAndre's honestly
You'll
been
get DeAndre. He's been hooping. He had a
yeah.
horrid game today. I won't even tell you what happened with him. He didn't make a single shot, but.
Yeah, it's okay, bro. So I think you're getting like Garrison Matthews minutes, you're getting like Bruno Fernando minutes, like yeah. I'm going Bulls. I don't think it's gonna be a blowout, but I do think the Bulls find a way to win this one. Anything else before we move to our West? No.
Dude, I mean, realistically, it's not like the Bulls rotation is much better. Like, do you
Dude, I
see
mean,
Javon? Did you watch the game today? You see Javon Carter?
dude, I know, but Javon's like, I feel like I don't even know if Javon's gonna play. Like, I know Trent Forrest and Bruno Fernando are gonna play, but I mean, yeah, I get it. The
I mean,
world's gone
end of the
warm.
day, it doesn't even matter
Yeah,
because whoever wins this
they're
game
getting
is getting
smacked in four
blasted in the
by
next
Boston.
round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the West. We'll start with the 7-8 game, Lakers Pelicans. Really interesting game. I don't know. I'd assume not, but I could be wrong. I don't know if there's been a time where the two teams that match up 7-8 match up the game before with actual stakes. Like, I think that's what makes that game really interesting, is the Pelicans could have avoided this whole play-in thing with just a simple win, not maybe not simple, but a win against the Lakers. And they got dominated. And this Pelicans team has been so tough for me to figure out. And again, we just talked about it. I do think Brandon Ingram coming back in this game bucks things up a little bit. I get why you do it, right? You're not going to sit there and be like, Brandon, you can play, but you're not going to, because we think we can have a better chance to win without you. Like, you're not going to do that. But I do think, like, it is somewhat significant that this wasn't even like really that close. But the Pelicans have been so tough for me to figure out, because sometimes they look really, really good, like really, really fucking good, to the level of like, damn, could this be their year? Maybe not like a title, but like a legit run. And then other times they look pitiful. And they've been 20-21 at home, 28-14 on the road. It's just a team that fucks with my head, doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. That I can't really figure out. I think I like the Lakers in the game just because of what I saw today, and knowing like, hey, I know what I have in LeBron, I know what I have in AD. I literally saw it last year. This lineup where you finally figure it out, you go Rui, Braun, AD, Reeves, Russell, has been killer. And I know no one can guard Zion, but I think AD is the perfect guy where Zion will literally just pull his way and get to the rim on just about anyone. If you have AD there, it's at least a deterrent. I got Lakers in this one. I could see it going either way. It's not like super strong for me, but if I had to pick, I'm going Lakers.
I watched this whole game, and I think that the difference in these two teams is the rim protection. That was 100% the deciding factor in this game. The
Yeah.
Pelicans had no rim protection at all, and when LeBron faces a team with no rim protection, he just dominates because there's no one to affect the shot when he's at the rim. He was getting everything he wanted, dumping it off. And then on the other end, when Zion is facing a rim protector, LeBron guarded him the whole game. But if he got by LeBron, AD was
He's right there.
affecting every shot at the
Yeah.
rim. And JaVale couldn't even stay on the floor. He was so bad tonight. But the Lakers were miles and miles and miles ahead. Obviously, you're trying to integrate Brandon Ingram back into that offense, but the 3-point shooting, I think, for the Pelicans, Trey Murphy shot the ball horrible tonight, but outside of him, they don't really have any perimeter guys. It's JaVale, it's Zion, it's Herb Jones. You got Larry Nance playing a ton of minutes. I think he played 30 minutes tonight. You cannot beat the Lakers without perimeter shooting because of AD down there. So I really do think the Pelicans are going to have a really tough time, even at home, trying to beat the Lakers in this game, especially with everything that's on the line, because this is another scenario where if you lose this game as a 7-8 seed, I know people are saying, oh, should the Lakers lose so they don't have to see Denver? Hell no, because then you got to go play someone who can beat you in the next round. So,
No.
Lakers, full blast. I pick them
Never,
seven or
never
eight
do that.
times out of 10,
Yeah,
of course.
you never lose a game on purpose to put you in a spot where if you lose one more game, you're gone. Like, I don't care. I don't care. And really what that's saying too about yourself is you don't even feel confident about playing a team. Even if you objectively you would rather play OKC, I get it. But you can't admit that you are literally that scared of playing a team that you would lose a game on purpose. T, I'll let you go in a sec, but I just also want to say, like, and I agreed with everything you said. I think it's the most important thing. Like, I remember watching that Grizzlies Lakers series last year, and I remember it was a legit discussion about like who was going to win this series, right? Lakers more experienced, probably playing better at the time, but Memphis with home court, and AD was. And just an incredible watch, just like a The word gets used all the time, but like a generational rim protector in what he is able to do just roaming at the rim, it's unbelievable. So I just, the more we talk about it, I think we got to trust our eyes to some extent. I don't think the Pelicans were, it's not like the Pelicans came in here like trying to lose or not focused. Like they got beat. So, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the exact same result next game, but I do think if I had to pick, it's going to be the Lakers here. T, what are your thoughts? I know you got to have plenty.
Yeah, I mean it's the shooting and it's JV. Like, it's just a really, really bad matchup for the Pelicans. And we've seen it play out a couple of different times in blowout fashion
The
this year.
playing, the playing,
In the in-season tournament,
in
like,
season
just
tournament. Sorry,
absolutely smacked them. But yeah, this team has kind of been Jekyll and Hyde all season. I know they've had pretty significant injuries to a couple of different guys, but at the end of the day, the stats tell us, the numbers tell us that their best lineups are kind of just mid. Like, the best five guys that they can put out there, at least this season, have been CJ, Ingram, Herb, Zion, and JV. They have a negative point differential on the season. They've played 900 possessions together and have a negative point differential.
They don't have
So,
a
like,
single positive lineup.
that's just their most played lineup by far.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
By
Gotcha.
far. Yeah, three times as much as their second best lineup.
What is their best lineup in terms of differential, but like given a decent sample size?
Decent
Okay.
sample size would be J-Bell's in there. It's
Okay.
CJ, Trey Murphy, Ingram, Herb, J-Bell. So
Damn.
no Zion in their best five. Yeah, it's just a really
But
confusing team. They don't obviously have shooting. I think Lakers take this one. I don't think we should overcomplicate it.
like just trust your eyes and what
Yep.
you saw today and what the numbers have told us all year.
The only thing is that I know it's tough to beat teams two times in a row like that, but we see it all the time in like a playoff series. Like, the Lakers, I don't think should have any problem as long as AD, as long as it was actually just a spasm.
And
If it's something that they're
yeah,
not telling us.
I think he'll be good. And I think the other thing too is like we talked about it, but I think you got to bring it up again, is like I think it would be slightly different if Brandon Ingram didn't hurt his knee a couple weeks ago. Like I think the fact that he's coming back now just adds even more to to me liking the Lakers. Like I
Dude,
don't
the
know.
only
He
the
looked
only bad today too. Just throwing that out there. The only scenario I see the Pelicans winning is if there's like an abnormal, crazy Trey Murphy 7, 8 3-pointers type game. I just don't see any other way that the Pelicans could beat the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean
They don't shoot well
they
enough.
don't shoot it. And this is with Herb shooting 41% from three this year. Like I got to make sure we recognize that. Like he's been unreal, but like he you're looking at Herb as their best 3-point shooter just in terms of pure numbers. And
Dude, the Lakers let him
I
shoot a couple today too. They're not
guess CJ shooting 43%. Oh, CJ's
like
up.
Lakers let Herb have three or four of them. Like when Zion went down there, they
Oh,
helped. They
that's
just
gonna
said,
have to be the yeah.
because they had Larry Nance Jr. is going to have to play another 31 minutes. He's the only one that they trust guarding AD.
Dude,
J-Bell, he would go in there and they would just immediately pull him out of the game because he was so bad. He's so slow. Like, it's going to be another 30 minutes of Larry Nance Jr. They just when
have no one to
this
guard AD. It's
is probably a longer discussion, but I'm just thinking about like how Zion, who's clearly their best player, is not in their best lineups. Like, their best lineup does not have him. So my theory behind it is like in today's NBA, it's so difficult when your best player can't hit
Can't
three
shoot.
pointers. Like, he is crazy efficient, right? When he gets to the left in the paint, he can score on anybody. But you're trading twos for threes. It's kind of similar to the discussion we were having last year when we were talking about Denver versus Phoenix, you know, to a bigger extent. But I don't know, just a theory, like having your best player not being able to shoot three pointers, like, it's tough to
It's
win.
no, it Zion
Which
is
is which
no, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll
I was
go.
just going to say that was a discussion 4 years ago with Giannis, who's the best player in the world, winning
Right.
MVP. He couldn't shoot threes and it murdered him. And he's the best player in the world. You talk about a
Yeah.
guy like Zion, he's a great player, but nowhere near Giannis's level. The Lakers today are standing in the paint and letting him shoot the rock. And with a guy like AD, who can just sit in the paint and do absolutely nothing, like it destroys the rest of your team.
That's basically what I was gonna say is like Zion is essentially as good as you can be as a non-shooter, and it still is gonna hurt you. And this is not like I love Zion, and I think part of too, I don't know for sure, but I would guess that Zion is a lot better now than he was at the start of the year, just in terms of like physically and
He
health-wise,
looks great.
like he is balling right now, and he's a great passer too. Like that's something that I think gets lost on the analysis when it comes to Zion. Is Zion can really pass the hell out of the basketball as well. But yeah, when you can't shoot, it changes the geometry of the whole game. And if you can't, then everyone else out there has to. And the Pelicans don't really have the ability. I'm trying to think. If you go Zion, BI, CJ, Trey. But then you have zero rim. I mean, yeah, I guess you don't with JVal,
It's
regardless.
Larry Nance, dude. They're
Yeah,
playing Larry
like
Nance 32 minutes.
can't play Zion at the five defensively. So you're always giving something up, right? Ideally, they get a five that can shoot but also defend the rim as well. But I like this Pelicans team, and I would pick them to beat us. But yeah, I think like you guys have said, it's a terrible matchup. And then on top of that, they've literally lost more games at home than they've won. I don't know how significant that is, if that's just weird and maybe they played more games at
Dude,
home
this team has
hurt.
just been
But
so Jekyll and Hyde this
so
year.
weird, yeah.
Like, so weird. Because I remember, I don't know, this is like a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, there was like Willie Green potential coach of the year talk when the Pelicans were like the four seed.
Yeah, they
And
were hot.
now they're in the play-in.
Their peak version of themselves is a really good team. Like I remember last year, right? Before they went
Dude,
down,
they had a
they were
great
one seed.
year.
They were the one seed last year for like 2 days, but and then yeah, this year too, given the injuries that they've had, like they've had again, I think you could say a good year. A year that last year would have had them as the three seed, this year has them in the play-in. I think it goes to show how great, the competitiveness is in the league in the West right now, but also like the Pelicans they've got to figure something out. There are a lot of times where I do think like people just overreact, and it's like sometimes you just got to be patient and build within. I do think the Pelicans are one of those teams where it's like, okay, you actually do have there a move has to be made, and it's actually pretty obvious. You got to find a center, and more shooting, and you have you're right there. You're right there. I'd be
And
curious. Go ahead.
to play devil's advocate too, if you're the Pelicans, I think you go away from this game saying, all right, that's one of the worst games that we've played in a while, right?
Yeah.
AD leaves the game with back spasms in the fourth quarter, so maybe he's not healthy. Like, as bad as that game was, I think you can come into the next game with not necessarily confidence, but just kind of rub that one off. You're still at home. You don't have to travel.
Yeah.
Like,
To be clear, bro, I'm not sitting here saying like they don't have a chance. Like if the Pelicans won this game, I wouldn't be
for
shocked.
sure,
I
it's a
just
one
do.
point spread.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I'm just making sure. Like, I do think this is gonna be a good game, and I think the Pelicans could win this game. I just think if I had to pick, I'm going Lakers.
Dude, ex somebody, because I haven't watched them super closely this year. Somebody explain the Jordan Hawkins situation to me. Like, you spend a late lottery pick on him, your
Just
team
can't
struggles to
defend.
shoot,
Can't
and it, so
defend.
he, is it an undersized thing, or he
It's
just he didn't he,
size. It's really size. Yeah. It's size and just like. Yeah, if when he can he might be able to stay in front, but like the force that most guys have getting downhill, he just gets moved. Like he can't, even if he stays in front, it's and so
but. It's not size though. They're playing Jose Alvarado 22 minutes. Like,
no, but Jose Alvarado is
because
a
he can
great
defend.
defender. Yeah.
Exactly. It's because he can. It's because he can't defend.
Right. No, that's but I'm saying his size is a lot of what goes into why he can't defend. And when I say
They
size,
need
I
the
don't even
shooting
mean
though.
height. I don't even mean necessarily height. I mean like he gets moved. He gets moved.
Because he's
Yeah.
not strong.
Dude, he probably weighs 150 pounds. I'm not even
I mean,
joking.
but you could have seen that with him at UConn. Like
I know,
he was
but
never a bigger build.
I don't think it's like we're out on him forever. Like no matter what, he shoots the hell out of it. I just think it takes time to develop the defense and the size, and I think that comes. Like I get it, but yeah, I mean, I think that's what it is. It's just like defense is more important than offense at this point. And but dude, he can absolutely shoot the hell out of it. Like in any type of situation, not just like catch and shoot. Like he's a crazy shooter. He's had some nuts.
I think another side to this too is, from what I've seen, dude, the Lakers are kind of legit, man. Like I don't want to say like they're a no-brainer
You're usually
title
pretty negative
contender.
about him, bro.
I know, but what I watched the last couple games with a healthy AD, their rotation is finally like with Rui in it instead of Torian Prince, it looks so much better. Spencer
D'Lo is
Dinwiddie,
also fucking balling.
yeah, he's lighting it up, absolutely lighting it up. But like, if they play like this, they can give Denver a run. Like, they can legitimately come out of a 7-game series against Denver.
I wouldn't pick him to do it, but I don't. Yeah, I
Of
agree.
course.
I agree. Like, no, I'm glad. I hope. No, I'm not even get there. We'll get there another time. But I agree. The Lakers are playing good basketball. They're playing good basketball, and it's and the personnel's there, and it's also not like, whatever team playing good bat, like, LeBron and AD what you're getting, and you've seen it. I mean, this team was in the Western Conference Finals last year. The regular season is the regular season, and that's more so about kind of like a marathon. Like, can you go through a full season healthy? There's 82 fucking games. Like that is so long. Where the playoffs is like, and now it's a sprint, and they've got some dogs. So I'm with you. I think the Lakers are absolutely a threat, and I think Denver would much rather get new ones. I know Denver would much rather get new ones, and so would OKC. I would assume.
Dude, in the rotation, Sarge kind of touched on it. It's just so much more legit now. Like, now that you have legitimate NBA players that have played in big games in Gabe Vincent,
Is Gabe gonna play?
Dinwiddie. Huh?
You think is Gabe gonna play? Like,
Yeah, he played tonight. He
he
played
played
15
today.
minutes tonight.
No, but I just mean like playoffs. Like it, we're try. He's healthy enough. Looks back in like rhythm
Yeah,
enough. Like he's gonna
I would
play.
think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
He
compared.
he's he's okay. He
I'm
nothing.
just saying. I haven't watched a ton of like Gabe, but I did watch one game, and he just didn't look like the Gabe before. And I know you can't really expect that, he just came back, but I'm just wondering where he's at personally. Let me look at the so
I mean,
the
he
off the
hasn't been
bench.
good.
No, I mean, so you got Torian, Dinwiddie, Gabe, and what, Jackson off the bench?
Yeah, those are the only four that
You
legitimately play minutes.
and
It's
those
going to be a
five
nine-man
guys,
rotation.
yeah, those five guys that you start to are going to play close to 40 minutes too.
Well,
Yeah.
probably 38 each.
And compared to what it was early in the season, when it was Taurean for 33 minutes a night, and then you had your Christian Wood 20 minutes a night, and then it was like Max Christie and Hood
Cam.
Schifino, you know? Now it's legitimate NBA players. So it just feels more structured, more solid.
And they stagger the Anthony Davis and LeBron James minutes really well, which in the past you'd get these stretches where there'd be like 3 to 4 minutes without LeBron and AD on the floor, and they would just get absolutely smoked.
I've
They
never
figured,
understood that as a
yeah,
coach.
it was horrible. We would lose legitimately 12 points in 4 minutes, and they've staggered it enough now to where you're getting them on the floor at all times. I think it's mostly due to Anthony Davis's health, obviously, but with that stagger combined with the emergence of D'Angelo Russell actually playing well, they look legit.
Dude, shout out D'Lo. Who would
Dude,
have thought?
he's a beast. He's an actual offensive beast. He's figured out how to do the whole, like, it's hard. It's really hard when you are a talented offensive player, but you know and understand that you are not going to get the on-ball reps that you have your whole life and to like make it work. And D'Lo has, and it's honestly dope because he's a really, really talented offensive player, and not just scoring. Like he score at all three levels, but he's a great passer too.
Dude,
He changes everything for you guys if he's going offensively.
Ham's an idiot. I can't believe we had Rui hardly playing at all. Basically, the first 2 months of the season.
Yeah, especially what he did for you last year too. Like it wasn't like you just got him and didn't know
Like,
what to
yeah, obviously it's the crazy run that D'Lo's been on. It's been the knock on wood health for LeBron and AD, but the lineup change with putting Rui in with the starters has changed the season.
do. Yeah.
But Torian Prince was so bad. That should have been figured out a lot
In a
quicker than it did.
heartbeat, dude.
He
It's
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's yeah. We can move on.
No. This has nothing to do with any of the games, but it actually blows my mind that for a while, like I remember Terry Stott used to do this too. That there are coaches that when you have two of your two best players that you only play them together, and that there are minutes on the floor where you're running out five bench guys. That is fucking insane that there are coaches that do that. It's a lot less now, but that makes no sense. You're punting the game for 5 minutes, and it would infuriate me. All right, let's
And
go.
if
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, that's why I'm furious as a Tatum owner when they play. They pull him out in 5 minutes every game. They stagger him and Jaylen Brown so
No,
well. He
they
comes out
have.
of the game in
That's
five
smart. I
minutes.
know. I love Joe Mazzulla is actually a really good minutes distributor. Like he always has one of those two obviously on, but even the surrounding guys around him too are. And I think that's a very underrated aspect of coach. It's just like, do you,
Rotations.
yeah, just like, all right, let's get to the last game. And it sucks, guys. Like I feel like we're just getting going, but we'll be back Thursday. Warriors Kings. Warriors coming in. They were 1.5 favorites. They're now 2. I grabbed them. I hit them money line. I probably would have done it regardless, but I really do think we win this game. I guess the Bucks this year as well, but like I can't remember a team, and I guess there actually probably it has existed, but the Kings are just severely limping into this thing. No Herter, been without Herter for a little bit. No Malik Monk now. And it just becomes very dependent on Fox and Sabonis. Keon Ellis has honestly been a revelation for them. He plays really good defense, has made shots at a pretty high level as well. But I looked back, bro, like the Kings haven't won a game against like a good, healthy team in a really long time. And they've had plenty of opportunities. Phoenix at home lost. New Orleans at home lost. At OKC lost. At Boston lost. At New York lost. They lost to Dallas on a Tuesday. Had Wednesday and Thursday to game plan for them again. Still lost. They haven't beaten a Western Conference good team since March 13th when they beat the Lakers. And the Lakers were that was just not a good game from them. But like I just it sucks. It sucks kind of what's happened there. It's clear they need obviously Malik going down hurts, but
Killer.
to me and the Warriors, they matched up twice, 2-2, and in both losses to the Kings, they lost by 1 point. I just feel confident in what I've seen from us against the Kings. I also feel like we are playing better basketball of late. I don't think we're going to go on some title run or anything, but I do think we are playing miles better basketball than the Kings are right now. And I think we go in there and get it done. Where are you guys at on this game?
Yeah. I mean, the Kings have played under 500 basketball the last month and a half, and the Warriors trending in the right direction. Warriors are finally healthy. I feel like it's just been an on and off battle all season, not just with the health, but with the Draymond suspension and the
Everything.
therapy that he went to or whatever he did during that break.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Kings, I want to know what your guys' thoughts are on this, but they, to me, sneaky feel like a potentially blow things up if this goes badly against the Warriors. I'm not sure if you guys have been monitoring, like, the God, I feel like I'm a fucking body language doctor on this podcast, but dude, De'Aaron Fox
I'm
looks
a big body
unhappy,
language guy.
dude. He looks it seems like every game he's getting some technical, or he's complaining in the post game scrum about this, that, or the other. I don't know. This team just seems like they're perennially going to be, you know, 5 games over .500, 7 games over .500. I don't see how this team elevates past, you know, even where they were last year, and then they lost in the first round. So
yeah. I think they well, in terms of that, I just think that with the Kings front office, and I think the Kings in general, they've been bad for so long that, like, even this, although it's not ideal, it's like, bro, this is so much better than what we've gone through for so long, that I don't think that there's going to be that pressure to blow things up the way it is, exists in some other markets and some other teams.
And I don't, just to clarify, I don't mean like blow it up, let's compile a bunch of draft picks. I mean like just a big swing trade one way or
right.
the other.
I think absolutely. I think that's why they were all in on Pascal, because I think that's exactly what they're going to try and do, is go find a third guy. And honestly, whatever form or fashion they could, as long as it's not like a center who's exactly like Sabonis, I think that they're going to look high and low for that. I don't think they'll give up Keegan. They love Keegan, but they might for the right guy. I just don't know. I don't really know who's out there at this point. Like, who's even.
Well, and I mean, Malik Monk's unrestricted free agent. He's gone.
He's gone. He's going to get paid more than what the Kings can give. And he's been huge, right? Like, so, yeah, I'm with you. And I think De'Aaron's frustrated just because, like, they're losing. Like, they're, like, and there's really no,
dude,
like, there's no one else there to help, right? It all goes through De'Aaron.
I was just going to say, they probably have the worst bench in the league right now. They're running out Trey Lyles, Alex Len, Davion Mitchell, Kessler, Edwards. Like,
even Keon Ellis has been good. It's like, now you're relying on Keon Ellis. Like, Keegan's...
Bro, he's starting. He's not even coming. Exactly. Like, he's legitimately starting.
Right. There's just not enough there. And even, like, it'd be one thing if Sabo was this guy that, all right, give it to him, go get me a bucket consistently in the post. Like, Sabo's more of a create for others out of the post guy. He's not, and teams know that in the playoffs, right? We saw that. So I just, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It's been a tough year for the Kings. They've honestly... in the West done well enough to, like, I think in the preseason I didn't even pick them top eight, and they're top eight, or I guess they're nine.
No, they're not.
They're nine, but like
I think all three of us had that.
Yeah. I got the dubs.
What can I ask you, Caleb, why did the Dubs give up on the home court tonight? Why did they just decide to kind of zip it up and say, is it because the Kings are so bad, or like,
no, I think it's just a mixture of the vets.
This home court is huge. Tired.
No, I know, but I think it's a mixture of feeling pretty confident that they can beat the Jazz no matter what. Like, if you can't beat the Jazz at home even without Steph and Dre, like, you're not going to win anything anyways. You know,
well, and the Kings were at home against the Blazers.
And the Kings were against the Blazers. But I get it in terms of, like, if the Lakers lost and we won, we would have moved. But, like, I think it just came down to a confidence of, like, this Jazz team is literally playing a G League version of themselves. Like, and they just beat that same Jazz team at home without Steph, like, last weekend. So I think it was just a risk versus reward type thing with, like, Dre, honestly, he's talked about it. Like, Dre is, and this is just what happens when you get older, but like, his back can go at any second. His back can go at any second. And if his back goes, we're done. So I think it's just a matter of giving him as much time off and not risking any sort of injury heading into that game. So we all got that.
Warriors is such a funky roster, you know, like, it's such a mix of these freaking young, talented guys combined with these old fucking savvy vets, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Trayce Jackson-Davis has been so good. You have Pods has been playing a ton of minutes and looked really good for them. You have Kuminga. They're just such raw talent. And then you have them combined with all these old guys. Like, we've never really seen that.
Yeah, it's a very odd
work.
Mix. It's a very odd mix. And honestly, they played really good basketball post-All-Star break. Like, I love GP2. Like, he is one of my favorite role players in the league. I think he's going to play decent minutes. I don't know how much Pods and Kuminga are going to, like, I'm very curious to see what the closing lineup when the chips are down, and I'm sure it'll vary matchup to matchup, but I would not be surprised if it's like that five, right? And Kuminga, well, I don't even know. Like I could see it being Steph, Klay, Wiggs, Draylen, but then CP might want to get in there too. I don't know. There's a lot of different options, but I don't even think the young guys are gonna like super factor into to this one. We'll see though.
You don't think Trace could close too?
Trace could, but Kerr with Trace, it's like Kerr is always gonna give the benefit of the doubt to Loon or Dre in terms of the five. And there's been plenty of times this year where Kerr's admitted like, fuck, I should have played Trace more. But it just happens over and over again where he says I should have played Trace more. So to this point, he hasn't. And that's been in lower stake games. So I don't know. He's been huge for us. And the fact that they can play, they don't have to play Dre at the five is huge. And he can more roam and play center field kind of with what he's best at. Yeah, like I love the way we're playing. It's just like I don't know. I could see us. It's so tough. Dude, losing against the Pelicans was so tough. But I guess you would have probably played Denver anyways. You got to go to New Orleans, which is doable, but we'll see. So let's go to our, I know East, we all took whoever loses Heat Philly to beat the winner of Chicago, or fucking Atlanta. In this one,
Atlanta. Chicago's 2-1 against Philly this year. Embiid played in all three games. Just
I
saying,
remember
though.
one game I
Dude.
watched. Philly dominated, though, that one game.
Chicago, I swear to God, they can beat anybody or lose to anybody on any given night.
No, they're
Like
gritty, bro.
they're a really entertaining team to watch, actually.
No,
But
so
yes, Philly is not losing to Chicago.
huge. That would be nuts. All right, we got Pelicans or Warriors because we're all kind of I think, in agreement in who comes out of both games.
It's in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, where
I
they're.
have the Pelicans.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Warriors necessarily can expose the weaknesses that that the Pelicans have in similar ways to how the Lakers can. And winning back-to-back road playoff games is really hard.
No 10 seeds ever made it. Small sample size, but
How many years is the play-ins? Is it like 2018, 19?
I
I think
think
it was
it's the
18.
third year, right?
No. No way.
It started with the
Oh,
Spurs.
Ju
Go ahead.
The first ever play-in game was for the 2019-2020 season, part of the plans for a bubble as part of the return during COVID pandemic.
So there's a fourth year.
It was 2019-2020.
This is the 5th year.
5th year.
2019.
20, 21, 22, 23, and now 24.
Well, this year started in 2023, but regardless, yeah.
This is going to be the 5th play-in tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be the 5th.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm not going to say the Pelicans, and I'm going to root with all my heart and believe with all my heart that the Warriors are going to win. But I mean, we just saw without BI. Maybe BI being back in the picture changes things, though. And we did go into New Orleans and blow them out early in the year. But I don't feel confident, but I believe.
Yeah, I think I take the Warriors. I cannot bet against Steph Curry. I can't. Like I
You
get the
have. You
game is in New
literally have.
Orleans, but
The
yeah,
game
but
is.
in
Oh
certain
no.
scenarios, not a 10 seed play-in game.
So out of
But
these
I'll
four.
take.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Sarge.
Go ahead. No, I was gonna say I'm gonna take Steph Curry, best player by far in either of those games.
So out of these four teams in the West, who do you think has the best chance to beat the Thunder or the Nuggets in round one?
Lakers.
Lakers.
Dude, the Lakers getting the Thunder would be, I damn near have
Maybe
that
the
50-50.
most fun playoff matchup,
I would damn
one
near have
versus
that
eight.
50-50.
Lakers getting the Thunder.
If they lose.
He's just playing.
If they lose.
Yeah,
he's playing I'm the, not, if they
yeah.
lose.
Yeah. I would, again, I assume they lose, they win against the Pelicans, but it wouldn't shock me.
Who's the favorite in that series, legitimately?
That's what I was going to say. I'd legit make that 50-50.
The Lakers might actually be
handle the Thunder. Like, the Lakers have handled the Thunder, and they do just the Thunder have done a lot of good things, and they've had an unreal year, but they just the size is an issue. The size is an issue.
Isn't that just absurd that the Lakers, if they played the Nuggets, would be no doubt a pretty decently big underdog, but if they played the Thunder,
I mean, that's
they would be a favorite.
Over here, bro,
what
the
a
playoffs are
crazy.
So different. The playoffs are so different. And we are going to talk all about that Thursday. All about that. You guys have any closing thoughts?
Anything that you guys wanted to mention about the teams that we're saying goodbye to?
Bulls, no.
No. I mean the teams that didn't even make it to the play.
Oh, that's actually a great question, T.
It really is.
Spurs are going to be a problem next year. Spurs are going to be a problem next year. I honestly, I'm excited to see. Like, the things don't get easier, right? Like, the Spurs are going to be in the mix. I think the Rockets will be in the mix.
Grizzlies.
Like, Grizzlies are going to be back in the mix. Like, this Western Conference is a crazy, crazy conference. But yeah, I mean, that's really what I got, bro. Like, it's just.
Blazers and the Jazz next year are going to be the only two teams that you know probably won't be like improving too much. But like being a GM in the NBA is probably going to be the most frustrating thing of all time, like trying to figure out puzzle pieces. But being the GM of the Spurs, you just have the most fun job in the whole world.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
you're
there's
having
got to be some pressure.
Blast.
But like, yeah, when you have this piece that is, Wemby is probably the most hyped prospect we've seen since Bron, and it's crazy that he just fully lived up to it, if not exceeded it. No, he exceeded it. He exceeded it for me personally. It's just incredible what he did down the stretch. And then the Spurs actually were winning games too.
They need a point guard.
Absolutely. You got
of
picks.
Course. I think that's one of the weirdest parts about the Eastern Conference, though. Like, you don't look at it like the West in the sense of you're looking at another six teams that are probably fully rebuilding next year and trying to tank in the Nets, Raptors, Hornets, Wizards, Pistons, like maybe even Bulls. Like,
might be the Bulls.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I wanted to talk about was the Nets. I want to know what you guys think about the situation in Brooklyn. If you were the general manager in Brooklyn, what you would be doing this offseason?
Just get rid of everyone and just gut it.
They just seem really reluctant to move off Bridges, which clearly at this point now looks like a big mistake.
Yeah.
Bro, they don't have picks. What,
they
bro,
don't,
they
I
have
think
zero
that's,
draft
I think that's
picks.
The problem is, like, they don't have picks, so they're like, all right, we got to just try and win games. But it's like,
dude, that to me is a sunk cost.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't matter at that point to me, too. Like,
and you have these Phoenix picks for the rest of the decade. Like, you're going to have picks, whether they're your own picks or I understand you would prefer to have your own picks, but like, for what? Like, are
dude,
you just
going
to keep building this team that sucks?
Yeah.
They have Phoenix picks next year, which we know is not going to be good. And then they have Philadelphia in 27 and Phoenix in 27. Like, anything can happen. Obviously, it's just they're so behind the ball. Like, they have a lot of challenges in front of them. They have no head coach. Like, there's so many pieces that.
No stars. They, yeah.
What do you have to get excited about?
Saxon's probably gone too. I was shocked. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Yep.
He's an
Who
they
is?
Drafted him. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Because he was a second rounder, right? So his contract came up a year earlier.
Dude, I thought he was a late first. And I'd never seen, but if he's unrestricted, I doubt he's a late first. So I'll check. But yeah, they got nothing, bro. They legit,
like,
I guess Cam Thomas.
What are you guys talking?
Even Cam Thomas is a
Are you excited about Cam Thomas though? Like, what is prime Cam Thomas
he's
look
Lou.
like?
He's Lou Williams, bro. He's Lou Williams.
Right.
Yeah. No. I'm just saying, like that is the state of which they're in. Like Cam
It's just
Thomas
so
is.
depressing.
You said Claxton is a UFA?
Yeah.
Or who?
No, Claxton.
Fucked. Oh, that's so brutal. He's gone. I mean,
He's gonna get paid, bro.
dude, they better not cash him out. It'd be a
He was the
huge
first.
mistake.
He was the first pick in the second round.
Good pick.
Great
What, 30? Was he 31 or
Yeah, he's
out of
30.
Georgia, huh? Yeah. Fuck, that's brutal,
What
dude.
type of contract do you think he's gonna get?
He'll get 20 plus from someone. Mid 20s. Shit. I could see a desperate team cashing him out for even more.
Oh no, Claxton already signed a contract. That's why he signed a 2-year, $17 million deal in 22.
Oh, did he sign the Reeves contract sort of thing?
Yeah, he did. He signed because he got drafted in 19, so he expired in 22, and they signed him for 2 years, $17 million. That's why he's a UFA.
Dude, who would even give Claxton $25 million a year?
There's
The
always
Kings?
someone. Dude, the Kings,
Someone
you
who
could
needs.
not play Sabo on him though.
Yeah, but get rid of Sabo. You need rim protection. I mean, just anyone who needs a rim protector, bro, sign Clax.
Grizzlies, shit, I don't know, but there will be someone. There will be some.
Rockets.
Dude, I don't know. To me, I could never do that. But I mean, they
The
were
hell would that
looking
front court look like?
Dude, they were trying to get Brook Lopez, so I'll believe it. I'll believe it.
It just can't be the Nets. I don't want
Without
to see breaking news. Nick Claxton signs 5-year, $125 million extension with the Brooklyn Nets.
I can very well see that though.
I mean, dude, they probably sign and trade him then.
Dude, with the moves that they have made and what they've shown, they seem like the exact team that will overpay someone just to keep them not that good. But better than really bad.
It seems like they're going
Big
in the
situation.
direction of what the Bulls did, but the Bulls, I
They're
would argue, had better talent.
the new age Bulls. They're the worst. They're the new age worst Bulls. It's grim. It's really grim. And they had Kyrie, Harden, and KD a couple years ago in LA. It's about as bad of a fall as you can have. But we don't have. We got great basketball coming up. This is the best time of the year for me. And it all gets going on Tuesday. Thank you to everyone who tuned in. The crew will be back on Thursday to go through everything. We'll go through all the first round matchups in the West and the East, make our picks, and we'll get it going. And then we'll do even like honestly, in the past, it's been all right, do it at the start. See ya. We'll be back throughout the playoffs this year. Appreciate you all for tuning in. Thank you, boys, for being on. And we'll talk soon. Peace.
Peace.